Let's look at our Bibles this evening to the book of Galatians to chapter 1. Book of Galatians. And in chapter 1, I'd like for us to read verses 1 through verse 12 this evening. You might have noticed in your bulletin, our title of our message is rather lengthy this evening. Transferred Churches or the Forsaking of the Gospel. And those are one and the same thing, and we'll try to point that out as we go. Galatians in chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. This epistle, this letter of the Apostle Paul, is unique in several different ways. This is the only epistle of the apostle which was written to a group of churches. I think sometimes that might be overlooked, but if you notice in verse 2, he's writing unto the churches of Galatia. The churches of Galatia. Now I want to do just a little bit of comparison to point this out to you. Look back to 1 Corinthians and in chapter 1. In 1 Corinthians and in chapter 1 and in verse 2, here the apostle is writing unto the church of God which is at Corinth. The letter that is addressed such here is not only to them, but also to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. But notice, it's to just one church and other saints also. In the book of Philippians and in chapter 1, Philippians and in chapter 1, read in verse 1, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. I'm going to go from there to 1 Thessalonians, and in chapter 1, and in verse 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, if you would, look with me to the book of Colossians and in chapter 1. Colossians and in chapter 1, I'll read here verse 2. To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. Now, we know just by Bible study that it was the intention of the Apostle Paul for his epistles to be carried from place to place, read in several different churches. If you look over to chapter 4 of Colossians, in chapter 4, notice in verse 16 how he closes out this letter. Colossians 4 and in verse 16. And when this epistle is read among you, cause it to be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. So his epistles were to be passed around, read in different places. But I'll say again, the epistle to the Galatians is the only one that is specifically written to a group of churches. I'm going to note Galatians 1 again. And we read in verse 2, under the churches of Galatia. How many churches are involved here, I don't know, but we do know there was more than one church in Galatia, and Paul is writing this epistle unto the churches of Galatia. He has many things to say unto them. Some of them are very harsh words unto them, but he is acting as one, a messenger from God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, instructing the saints in the churches of Galatia. It's very evident from the book that ever how many churches are involved in the churches of Galatia, that all of them had been corrupted by false doctrine. Therefore, he writes this epistle unto all of them, unto the churches of Galatia. How close these churches were unto having their candlestick or lampstand removed, I don't know. But I do get a sense of urgency in Paul's writing in this letter to these churches. And also in this letter is something else I'll point out. Even though these churches had been perverted with and corrupted with false doctrine, we also see the long-suffering of God. He did not just immediately cut these churches off, but rather he sent this letter by the apostle, and he did give them space to repent, space to change their ways. False doctrine in a single church is a very serious matter. But what usually happens is it spreads like a cancer. And it goes from church to church. And here I'll say again, we have all of the churches of Galatia giving themselves over to a false gospel, a corrupt doctrine. Notice in verse 7 of Galatians 1, chapter 1, verse 7. Paul said here, there be some that trouble you. These that are mentioned here as Paul writes about these are, they are Judaizers. They're very much like those that we read about in Acts chapter 15. Who went out from Jerusalem and telling the churches and individuals, except ye be circumcised, ye cannot be saved. a very corrupt and a false doctrine. But the same that applies here to the churches of Galatia would apply to any and all churches at any time who allow false doctrine to come in. Notice again verse 7, there be some that trouble you. This word trouble literally means disturb you. There's some who would disturb you. Those who would bring in false doctrines always bring in trouble and disturbances in the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no way to have false doctrine in one of the Lord's true churches without having trouble and disturbance. Hold your place if you would. I'm going all the way over to the book of Jude. In the book of Jude, he writes about these that would pervert the gospel of Christ. In Jude, and I'll begin in verse 3, Jude did write, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." Now let me just pause there for a moment. Notice the words, "the common salvation." The common salvation, not that it is common in the sense that we may use it today, being of very little value, but common salvation, common to the Jews, Greeks alike, common to all that are saved. All who are saved by the very same Savior and same salvation. We have a common faith. We have a common Savior. We have a common salvation. But Jude writes to these who do have this common salvation, he said it was needful, it was necessary for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend. That word has the meaning of strife involved in it. It's something that is worth fighting for. Contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now again, in verse 3, he's writing to those whom he calls beloved in the first part of the verse. And he said, it was needful for me to write unto you, those who are beloved. It was needful and necessary for me to exhort you. It's needful for churches today to be reminded of this very same thing, to earnestly strive for, contend for the faith. You'll notice verse 4, he gives the reason of this necessity. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained of this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, something that is evil and sinful, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice again what he said. The reason that it's necessary for me to exhort the beloved is that there are those who have crept in unawares. They do not come in as ravening wolves. They come in as wolves in sheep's clothing. They do not come in advertising themselves as exhorters of false doctrine. They creep in unawares. And you'll notice They turn the grace of our God into lasciviousness. Now that just simply means the teaching of grace, the doctrine of grace, what the Word of God has to say about the grace of God. They pervert it. They turn it into something that it never was. And it says, denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, they do not come in as atheists saying there is no God, but rather when they pervert the doctrine of God, the gospel of grace, they are denying God and denying the Lord Jesus Christ. Back in Galatians again, Paul said in verse 7 that there be some that trouble you. Any false doctrine, no matter what it is an attack upon upon true doctrine. It is an attack upon the Lord. Verse 6, he said, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. I point out these words in verse 6. Ye are so soon removed. Ye are so soon removed. The word removed here is where I get the word transferred in the title of our message. This word removed here means you've changed places. There's been a transfer. You've transferred yourself, is what Paul is saying here. Ye are so soon removed. You have actually transferred yourself from the true gospel of Jesus Christ unto another gospel. There has been a departure from the faith. A departure from the faith. I'm going to go back and read one verse in the book of Ecclesiastes. And it's Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and in verse 9. And it's something that we as a church of the Lord, as individual saints, need to keep in mind. Ecclesiastes in chapter 1 and in verse 9. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Now what Paul is writing of in Galatians and what we find in many places in the scripture, what we see all around us in our generation concerning false doctrine, those that creep into churches perverting the gospel of Christ, it is nothing new. It's the same thing that happens over and over and over again. And Paul is pointing out here, it has happened to all of the churches of Galatia. What a shame that is. Churches made up of gullible individuals allowing themselves to be deceived with false doctrine and a perverted gospel. And they allow it in. They allow it in. Notice in chapter 3 and in verse 1, Paul calls these Galatians foolish. He says, you're foolish. You're foolish. This word foolish that is used here in chapter 3 and in verse 1 means unintelligent, and it means sensual. Anyone who thinks that what Jesus did when he shed that precious blood, that was not sufficient for the salvation for all for whom he died, are foolish. They are foolish. And they need to be pointed out as being foolish. It's foolish to add anything unto the work of Jesus Christ. He and He alone is the Savior. And what He did is sufficient. So in chapter 3 and in verse 1, first of all, He says, you're foolish. You are spiritually unintelligent. You are sensual, is what He was saying. But then He says more than that. He says in the same verse that they have been bewitched. Bewitched. This word simply means to be fascinated. To be fascinated. How many churches of our generation have been fascinated by false preachers, false doctrine, false teachers? A church would be sound in the faith, grounded in the faith. All of a sudden, another preacher comes in, and the people are fascinated with him, and he easily and quickly can lead them astray. Paul says, you're foolish. He's writing to the churches of Galatia that have departed from the faith, and he says, you're foolish. He says, you have been bewitched. Now, notice also what he has to say in chapter 3 and in verse 1. Paul says, who hath bewitched you? Who has so fascinated you and led you astray that you would not obey the truth? Notice that Paul calls for the identification of the one or ones, plural, that have led these churches astray. He asked the question, who hath bewitched you? If you look in chapter 5 and in verse 7, he asked another question. Galatians 5 and in verse 7, he said, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? Calling again for the identification of whoever it is that is promoting the false doctrine. Who is it that is the troublemaker among the churches of Galatia? Who is it that is disturbing the peace in the churches? Paul asked twice, who is it? Those who promote false doctrine in the churches should be identified and made known. Paul asked, who is it? Who is it? Hold your place if you would. Look with me to the book of 1 Timothy. In the book of 1 Timothy and in chapter 1, 1 Timothy and in chapter 1, I'm going to begin reading in verse 18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith in a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning the faith, have made shipwreck. Verse 20, he identifies them. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Paul identified the false teachers. He identified who it was that had made the faith, the doctrine of faith, shipwrecked by false doctrine. Romans, and in chapter 16, the book of Romans, and in chapter 16, now read here verse 17 and verse 18. Romans 16, verse 17. Paul, writing to the saints at Rome, said, now I beseech ye, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Again, Paul says, false teachers, false preachers, whoever it is, needs to be identified. And they need to be avoided. The reason that they need to be identified is where saints will know, avoid these people. They're dangerous. They're dangerous. Verse 18, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, their own self-gain, that by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. There are both preachers and churches that I avoid because of their false doctrine. I know who they are. I avoid them. I don't want to be associated with them. I don't want our church's name associated with them. I do not want my name to be associated with them. So the best thing I can do is stay away from them. Avoid them. I wish more true saints took this seriously in verse 17. When you know a church promotes regularly, customarily, false doctrine, denying the gospel of grace, you know certain preachers do not preach the truth, but yet some want to go and attend there on occasion. They see nothing wrong with going to those churches and sitting through that. The Bible says, mark those that have a false doctrine and avoid them. They need to be identified. It's a serious matter. Back in Galatians again in chapter 1, in both verse 8 and in verse 9, the Apostle Paul reveals that there is a curse upon those who would pervert the gospel. Now I said this is a serious matter. This is a serious matter. He said, but though we are an angel from heaven, it does not matter who it is, whether it's an apostle, an angel from heaven, no matter who it is, if they preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Paul was convinced he knew where he got his gospel from. If you look in verse 12, he said, I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. He is the truth. He is the word. He is infallible, Jesus Christ. And Paul is saying, what he taught me is right. Anything contrary to that is a false doctrine. And those who would pervert the gospel of Christ, let them be accursed. Let them be accursed. That word accursed there is anathema. Let them be under the curse of God, doomed for destruction. That's a definition of the word here, accursed. Doomed for destruction. Again, a very serious matter here that will bring the curse of God upon an individual. If you would back up to 1 Corinthians in chapter 16. In 1 Corinthians and in chapter 16, I'm going to read verse 22. Here the apostle, again by divine inspiration, did write, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema maranatha. Let him be doomed for destruction at the return of the Lord. It's serious. It's serious. I'm afraid too many saints do not think seriously enough about false doctrine. those who preach it, those who promote it, churches who have it. It's a serious thing. God takes it very seriously. In verse 7 again of Galatians in chapter 1, he said, there be some that trouble you. There be some that trouble you. Look over to chapter 5, if you would, and in verse 10. In Galatians 5 and in verse 10, I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. Again, Paul has some stern words for the churches of Galatia. Notice what he said in chapter 5 and in verse 12. He said, I would they were even cut off which trouble you. That's Paul's wish. That was Paul's desire. I don't know what all is involved in these words, cut off, but I know it's serious business. Whether he meant that God would strike these dead or simply just stop their mouths, I don't know. But the Apostle Paul said, I wish that they were even cut off which trouble you. The downfall of the churches of Galatia, which would bring in such harsh and serious words from God unto them through the Apostle Paul, their downfall was they had forsaken the gospel that was preached of Paul. Again in chapter 3 and in verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you and so fascinated you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? Paul said in this verse, Jesus Christ has been evidently, plainly, publicly set forth among you. Through the preaching of the apostle and I'm sure others, Jesus Christ had been so plainly proclaimed, and the word evidently here carries this in its meaning. It would be like in our generation, you put up a big billboard for all to see. You publish it plainly, clearly, where it can be understood. He tells the churches of Galatia, before your eyes, Jesus Christ hath been plainly, clearly set forth, crucified among you. And you are leaving this doctrine. You're foolish, he said. He said, you're foolish. Foolish. Notice verse 3. Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Serious, serious matter. I'm in chapter 3. I'm going back to chapter 1 in Galatians. In chapter 1, and in verse 3, notice how Paul once again sets forth the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's writing to correct errors in churches. And he speaks here, beginning in verse 3, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul sets forth the truth here. I've seen it, and I'm sure you've seen it and recognized it. A church can be sound in the faith, members grounded in the truth, a preacher that preaches the sound doctrine, the truth of the Word of God. Then maybe that preacher leaves and another comes, and he's kind of weak on the gospel, weak on the gospel of grace. And it can happen with one or two preachers back from when it was sound, one or two preachers, and that church is gone. They've been transferred. They have forsaken the gospel. Many are the churches in our land today. If you were to look back at their history, they began in the truth. They began as very sound churches. But what happened? What happened? You look at them now, and what they are preaching is nothing near to the truth. What happened? They allowed false doctrine into the churches. In chapter 6 of Galatia, I want you to notice how Paul closes out the letter. He says, beginning in verse 11, says, "You see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid." Get the connection here. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Let me just mention this. If Paul would utter such a prayer as you find in verse 14, should not we? Paul did not say, "I'm so strong in the faith, I'm such a spiritual person, I do not need God's help." But rather, he said, "God forbid. God, don't let it happen. God, keep me from falling. Forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. As many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God." Paul seems to be getting at the end of his patience here also. Verse 17. He said, "From henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. I'll point out in verse 16. He's very specific here who he mentions. As many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them. As many as agree with what he just said about Jesus Christ in verse 14 and verse 15, peace be on them. The epistle, the letter to the churches of Galatia, ought to serve as a warning to all churches. Remember that Paul told them, you did run well. In your past, in your history, ever how long it was, you did run well. But all of a sudden, you've transferred yourself. You've transferred yourself. John wrote in the book of 2 John and in verse 7, many deceivers are entered into the world. We read those that Jude did write about, those that have crept in unawares. John also wrote in 1 John chapter 4 and in verse 1, don't believe every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they be of God. And John wrote the reason for that was many false prophets are gone out into the world. And rest assured, there are those who would pervert the gospel of Christ.